Let's pray as we stand. Father God, I pray that you would open my mouth to speak of you and open our hearts to hear from you, and that all we do may be for your glory. Amen. Please have a seat. If I could have my first slide, that'd be great. So I want to talk to you today about a potentially scary word. And it's this word here, evangelism. And I realise that there's possibly a few of you who at this point are going to be tempted to switch off. Possibly because you feel that it's all a bit too much. You might have been following this series on fruitfulness on your front lines and feel that it's going quite nicely for you actually. Living a more openly Christian life on your front line has got many possibilities. And you've seen the potential that making small changes to the way you live means that you're able to advertise Jesus more openly. And then suddenly, along comes this talk on evangelism. And in many ways, it can be quite easy to make some of these small changes. I talked about using the names of people in shops and trying to minister love and grace on your front line. So maybe you found that. Hopefully you have. Maybe you're the one who now gets up and makes tea for people to support them. Maybe you've been modelling godly behaviour on your front line. And then this big one, evangelism. Surely that's not for me. Well, I would say that if you are thinking that, you are not alone. So please don't be panicking. Don't switch off. This isn't intended to bring out feelings of guilt and sort of incompetence amongst you. Because that doesn't gain anybody. But it's about thinking about, in the same way that with the series on this fruitfulness, we've looked at making little changes to advertise Jesus, how can we make little changes to speak about Jesus too? Now, some of you might also be thinking at this point, it's easier for me than for you. And I admit that because I have this piece of plastic around my neck, people do sort of expect me to talk about God sometimes. And once people know that I'm the curate, it does give me that little opener. And yes, it has made talking about Jesus a bit easier because people expect it. You know, it's the vicar, he's going to talk about God, that's fair enough. But I don't always wear my collar, and I don't always have that I'm the curate, therefore I can talk. And also, like many of you possibly, find talking about Jesus can be quite scary at times. It can be quite a difficult thing. And there's another problem when we think about evangelism, and that is that we confuse the word evangelism with the word evangelist. And when we think of evangelism, it can be tempting to think of famous evangelists. This is Billy Graham talking at a huge rally. And we often think, when we think of evangelism, we've got to be like him. We've got to fill football stadiums full of thousands of people and get out there and preach and talk like that. I have to say that probably this isn't what you're called for. It may well be, and don't let me put you off, if you're feeling that, yes, you want to fill stadiums and talk about Jesus. Fantastic. But quite possibly, for most of us, that isn't what we're called to do. And then we get that passage from Luke, which seems to add to some of the pressure. Jesus appoints 72 people, and he says to them, go out there, you've got to heal their sick, and you've got to preach the good news. And we can sit here on a Sunday morning and hear those words and think, well, not sure I could do that, going out, being wandering around, being totally supported by the people I see, healing the sick, preaching the good news. And again, I think, well, perhaps that isn't what we're all called for. Do you know, in the Bible, there's only one person that is referred to as an evangelist, and it's Philip. Philip, as you may recall from our series on Luke, was one who met the Ethiopian eunuch. He was called by God to go and talk to this person, and great things happened. And then we pick up Philip's story a bit later on, where he's in Samaria with his family, and he's going around and preaching the good news, and he's called Philip the evangelist. But if he's the only one who's called an evangelist, it means all the other people who are telling about Jesus on their front lines, even including people like Paul, the great evangelist who went round and saw loads of people, he's not being termed as an evangelist. I think perhaps this confusion between evangelism and evangelist could be explained by thinking about the difference between worship and worship leading. If you were in church last week, you would have seen Diz standing up here. And I meant to tell Diz I was going to talk about him and didn't, so I hope he's okay. Diz was standing up here. He's got his guitar. He's leading the people in praise and worship and prayers. Because Diz is called to do that. But I don't imagine that for most of you, you don't turn up on a Sunday morning and worry that at some point during the service, Diz is just going to hoik off his guitar, pass it to you and say, right, it's your turn today, you're the worship leader. And probably you're thinking, if that was you, that would be a terrible, terrible thing because, you know, like me, I can't play the guitar. It wouldn't go well. So there's a difference between worship, which we're all called to do, and worship leader, which some are called to do. And then similarly, evangelism, which we're all called to do, talking about Jesus, and being an evangelist, being someone such as Philip, such as Billy Graham, out there on front lines talking to hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And it's worth a reminder here that our job is not to convince people about the quality, the joy, the love of God. Our job is simply to present the message. And God's job is to convince people that this is the right way. We just need to put forward the good news to people, and God will do the rest of the work. If you're into your gardening, when you plant your tomato seeds, your job is to put the seed into the soil and to water it. God's job is to make the tomatoes grow. We don't panic about the fact that we can't, by some means, make tomatoes grow, but we put the wing out there and we try. And similarly with evangelism, it's about putting the word out there in a way that means people can hear it, and then God will do the rest of the work. So I thought today, rather than trying to convince you of the fact that you all need to get out and do more evangelism, we'd look at more some practical tips on how evangelism might be able to happen. What can we do as ordinary people, as individuals on our front line, to mean that we can be a messenger of the gospel? Now, because it's Third Sunday and I'm in my robes today, I've got a very traditional Anglican thought for you. So I'm going to have 3 points and they all begin with P, just to help you remember them. So my first one is this one, prayer. I had a few days away this week on a retreat and it was great. And we were looking at, in ministry, the dangers that you can get. And one of them is that you can be working for God without working with God or indeed in God. And we talked about prepositions and you can add loads of other prepositions. So when we're going to be working for God, we need to make sure that it's with God and in God. And I heard a really useful phrase about this. And it's this one here. Before you talk to people about God, talk to God about people. I just let that sink in. Before you talk to people about God, talk to God about people. All of us are able to be involved in prayer. Whether you consider yourself to be one of those prayer warriors, whether you consider yourself to be a novice at prayer, and you're stumbling and hesitating and worrying. But we can all do it. We can all talk to God. So I would say the first place to start in being a messenger of the gospel is talking to God. And I think the first thing to ask God is for the willingness to actually be a messenger of the gospel. The willingness to actually open our mouths and speak out and talk about him on our front lines. And then, when we have this willingness, to ask God to show us whose lives he is already working in. Who has already got that work, first of all, that we can join in with. Now, this also can be a scary thing, because if God highlights people on your front line whose lives he's working in and says, they're the people I want you to talk to, they may well be people that you think, surely not them. Surely you're not the people who need God. Or they might be the person who you perhaps don't get on that well with, but God's saying to you, I want you to be able to talk to them. So if we ask God, ask him for his help to do that. And then, having done this, having highlighted who these people are, ask God for opportunities when we can actually speak out and be a messenger of the gospel. And if you're anything like me, you also need to pray, God, when those opportunities come up, please give me a huge boot so that I spot these opportunities too. Because opportunities will come up. And I'm sure that many of you perhaps have, maybe not in just evangelism, but just in general life, have thought, I wish I'd said that at that point. And it may well be that when you're thinking about talking about God, you think, oh, if only I'd mentioned that. If only I'd taken that opportunity. So it all starts with prayer, about asking God for his help to do this. Asking God to give us the opportunities, the willingness, and that huge shove, so that when these opportunities happen, we're able to take these opportunities up. So prayer is the first one. The second one then is practice. In surveys, when you look at why people find sharing their faith difficult, one of the things that comes up continually is people say they don't know what to say in certain situations. Now, it may be that for you, faith is a really new experience, that you're thinking, well, I only know the tiny bit that got me to this point, and there's all this other things. Or it may be that you've known and loved Jesus for the whole of your life, for 50, 70, whatever years. But you still might feel this, what would I say in certain situations? And in part, this can be because we feel we've got to have a persuasive argument to roll out to whatever situation. That if we don't have all the words to say at the right time, then people won't believe. But don't forget that God is the one who is going to do the convincing. We need to be the ones who are putting it out there. When I was training, we were living in Cottenham, just outside Cambridge, and the children were at the local primary school there. And there was a real terrible tragedy while we were there, and a child died. And parents were informed of this, and they were told that the local vicar would be at the school to meet people, to talk through things. And I remember thinking two things about this. The first was that this was great, that in a school where, unlike next door, the church wasn't welcomed, suddenly something's happened and they want the church involved and the vicar's able to come. But I also remember thinking, ah, in 2 years' time, that'll be me. What on earth am I going to say in such a situation? And it really worried me, actually, thinking, you know, if I was called on, what would I say? And even now, thinking about this, I'm getting this little shiver of, oh, what would I say? But it did mean that having thought about that, myself and a group of people I was training with, we talked about what possible things might you say in such a situation. Now, there isn't a formulaic answer that you can roll out in such a situation, but you can be prepared with thinking about what might I say. Why am I telling this? I think that in the same way for you and for me, on our front lines, we can think about how we might answer questions that we're given, how we might look for openers in conversations on our front line. You know what your front line's like, hopefully, and you know some of the people there. You know the sorts of things that these people are going to be talking about. And even if you don't, you know that they're real people. And so they're going through real situations, marriage difficulties, money problems maybe, spiritual searching that might be other than looking to Jesus, such as horoscopes, tarot cards, anything like that. These people might well talk to you about it. And it might be because you've been doing the other five M's that they've realised that you have something and they want to talk to you and ask for your opinion. Well, if you've practiced what you're going to say in such a situation, then you're more able to be prepared to go into such a situation and talk about it, to bring Jesus into it. You will know it's hard to be on the watch to bring Jesus onto your front line, to be a messenger for the gospel. And if you add to that stress not knowing what you might say in a certain situation, then that sort of multiplies it. And it can be very tempting to think, well, I won't say anything because I don't know what to say. So think about the sorts of questions that you're likely to be asked and maybe practice them. And also think about when you're looking to respond to people, can you give an answer that doesn't use this lovely Christian jargon that slips in, some of which I've seen, I was looking at our hymn songs today we had today, and some of them have got some Christian jargon in them. We know what it means maybe because we've been a part of the church for a while, but for people who have no experience, will they understand what some of those phrases mean? And if you've thought about how to respond, you can give it in a clear and concise and easy to understand way that doesn't draw on words that actually you'd never normally use on your front line. And it helps you to get out there and try it. Peter reminds us of this. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. This could be, don't be shying away when people ask you. But it could also be, do the legwork in advance so that you're ready to talk about the hope that you have. Now, it might be that this is quite a challenge to you, and there are a number of very good publications you can look at in order to try and get some answers to some of these difficult questions. Pop down to the CLC bookshop, they'll have some little pamphlets. Difficult questions, the Alpha booklet that's run like that, might well be a good way to start so that you can talk about what you know and talk about your faith and answer people's questions. And alternatively, or in addition, talk to your Christian friends about ways to bring Jesus into certain situations. Perhaps home groups could even spend a few minutes each time they meet, just looking at, in this situation, what might we say? How might we answer these questions? And then talking about Jesus can become natural, not forced, and you'll not be thrown by the opportunities that you get. And also, I firmly believe that we don't have to have all of the answers. So don't panic if people ask you things about which you don't know the answer. If you've not really thought about it, it will come up in situations that you've never considered, things that people may ask you about. And my advice to you in that case is to say, I don't know the answer to that, but I will go away and to find out. And that gives you a chance to come back and talk to them again, to reignite that conversation. And where can you go and find out? Well, I don't claim to have all of the answers by any means, but I know that myself and Nick will be more than happy to talk to you about situations that you meet, about things that you're not sure on. We can help you to find out, even if we don't know ourselves. So as Peter says, always be prepared. And our final P is presence. Being there, living a life that means that people will want to talk to you about things. Being there and being able to ask you about your beliefs, your thoughts on subjects. Or simply to converse with you because you're their friend. Peter tells us this. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Excuse me a second.
That worked well.
All of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with insult. Evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And to me, this sounds like those six M's that we've been looking at. Model godly character, make good work, minister love and grace, mould culture, be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and a messenger for the gospel. As we live out our lives for God on our front lines, we open ourselves up to conversations where we can be a messenger of the gospel. So I pray that this pattern of prayer, practice, and presence might work for you as a way of bringing Jesus to those on your front lines. Before I stop, though, a few extra little points. This is the Luke reading. Jesus prepares the evangelists, and he tells them actually that not everyone is going to respond to their message. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Now, I would imagine that on your front line, if you talk to someone, they don't like what you say, and you say, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet, that might well not go down well with them. That's probably a cultural reference that doesn't convert very well to 21st century Ipswich. But the point here is that Jesus was warning these people that they would meet resistance, that not everybody would come to know Jesus. So if you find that you are being a messenger and it's not working, don't give up immediately. Keep praying for these people, but don't feel that this reflects on you and the way that you are trying to tell this. Not everybody is going to come and love Jesus, sadly, but we can keep trying and we can keep praying for them. A second bit of advice, I found this book this week, Lost for Words. It's for all who think evangelism is not for them. It's this one here. I would recommend this book for you, okay? I have a copy here which I'm happy to lend to someone, or it's on sale on Amazon for £2.80, which probably most of us could afford. But it's taking you further in what I've talked to you about today. It's got some more practical advice. It's got some great things in there. And if you've been caught by this bug and you think, actually, I could do that. There are small things that I could do, but I need a little bit more help. That book there has got some quite good stuff in it. I would really recommend reading it. And finally, let's keep talking about being a messenger of the gospel. Talk to your home group. Talk today over coffee. Meet me and talk and pray about it. Give it a try and let me know how you get on. And most of all, talk to God about it. And then go out onto your front lines and talk to people about God. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Let me pray. Father God, we pray that you would open in us a willingness to talk about you on our front lines. We pray, Lord, that you would go ahead of us and open the way so that we have openings and opportunities to talk about you. We ask, Father, that you would help us to practice what we might say so that we're ready to talk about you. And we pray, Lord, that as we live on our front lines, you would help us to live and model what you would be like there so that people will answer to us. And we ask, Lord, that this might be all for your glory. Amen.